Hello, welcome to episode 292 of the Apologue Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Head. Now buckle up, it's a long one. This podcast is brought to you in part by AAXDSP.com. Get affordable and useful plugins for your digital audio workstation. The IC Intuition Compressor is a compressor that gives you a clear and intuitive visual display that shows exactly what is happening to your audio at all times. Click the link in the description for more information. Amazon shoppers, please shop on Amazon and support the show and get all the things you need that you don't need. The hyperlink for that is in this description. And you can also do the old-fashioned way by going to appalock.ca and click on those banners located on the right side. Bookmark the links every time you shop on Amazon and then use the links and shop and support the show. Cost you no extra money. Support my work on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/apalog. Pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with hosting and gas fees. And you can cancel anytime. Like the show on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/apalogpod. Buy a t-shirt by going to apalog.ca/shop. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show on iTunes. Why am I speaking like John Candy on vacation? Parse closed. Anyways, go to iTunes. Give it 5 stars. Oh, yeah. Follow me on Twitter at SimonHead666. Now, I don't really use Twitter much, but I like saying Twitter. There you go. All right, everybody. Here he is, Mr. Mikey Hodden and myself, talking about the new release, the Ikenamau release for the Fairmounts record that came out on December 4th of 2020. It's out on Clearview Records. You can also pick stuff up on Bandcamp. I believe you can actually go to the Fairmounts website as well, purchase it, listen to it on all the streaming thieves being Spotify and Apple. Apple's not much of a thief, but Spotify is definitely stealing something from somebody. Yeah, the streaming thieves. Where else can you listen to it? Pick up an album from Clearview Records, a real vinyl record. It's good times, and it's a long one, like I said before, but we went through every song, we talked a little bit, and at the very end is a very fun little excerpt of all the outtakes from the demos, or most of the outtakes anyways, where we just basically talked and had a good time making this record, honestly. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mikey Hodden, myself, as a co-host and guest of my own show, from the Fairmounts, here we are on the Applaud Podcast. Hi, Mikey.
Hello, Simon.
It's been a while since we've...
It's been a while.
I asked you to come on this podcast a while ago, and you're like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
Well, I don't like to associate myself with people like you normally.
What?
But
how dare you?
I'm here now.
Here to talk about this new record.
Yep.
That we all forgot, literally. Mm-hmm. We've all forgot this. Like, I was listening to it today, and I went, I have no memory of any of these chords, like at all.
I know someone was telling me or asking me, like, are you guys going to do a live stream? Are you guys, like, are you excited to play these songs live again? And I said, we would literally have to relearn every song on this new record. We haven't played any of them, really. And yeah.
Well, we did when we pre-produced it. We did the pre-production, which we can get into sort of how it all kind of came together. But, like, let's go back to, like, because it was, like, 2.5 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
When we started just doing this, like.
Yeah. Like kind of putting the songs together, getting like the idea of, hey, we should go record these songs soon. Let's try and put these songs together was easily over 2 years ago now.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's nuts.
It's so ridiculous.
It is.
It's so Prince.
Well, yeah.
That's what Prince would do.
It's so Chinese democracy.
We did it. It's like what Prince would do without the fentanyl.
Right. Oof. Too soon, dude.
No, it's never too soon to talk about fentanyl. Especially when Prince is concerned.
Yeah. 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 It's going way back. And but I mean, definitely happy with the result. I like how it turned out. And you got a lot of awesome audio clips from the banter between songs that I hope you air on here at some point.
Most of that is from the pre-production, because we did three different sessions. I guess we should explain, like, how we did the pre-production is, because I'm kind of the guy that records it. And
that's right.
And I said, I don't want to be the guy in the basement pressing record. I want to be a part of this now, like when it comes to doing bed tracks. Because when we did Kiddo, it was like you and Andrew would do your parts and then we would record the drums kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I had nothing to do but hit record and be the recording engineer. And I decided, like, I made this proclamation, like, I'm not just going to be the guy that records this. I'm going to be...
Well, just so everyone knows, though, you were definitely you played all the parts on Kiddo and everything. But it was more like you were putting them together when it was time to do your guitar. On this album, you were more of a part of, like, you got to actually write some parts and work on stuff. And yeah, you were there, like, putting the songs together.
Yeah, and that's sort of me. That was kind of a first for us, because usually the idea would you bring the songs and then I would sort of sit there and it'd be my turn and I'd be here where I'm sitting right now and I would write parts and send them to you and you would say, I don't like them. I'm going to fuck you. That's what you're getting.
That's right.
That's what I'd say. Yep. The parts are finished. We're locked on that. But it would be one of those situations where it would be drums and bass and maybe some vocals. And then we'd try to, and maybe some guitar, and we'd try to fix the, you know, as much as we could and then start recording the stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is the first time I had my gear. Well, it's, we hit it. We would set up real fast here and we did one here and two at Adams, I think, or did we do two here and one at Adams?
We did two at Adams, I think.
So we did two pre-production sessions at where we actually recorded the record, and we did one pre-production session here in my basement where we just threw stuff up real fast and just wrote parts and then played like a four-piece band, which the end result of that, I think, was huge because we got to hear what it sounded like, you know what I mean? Like, it was real pre-production session where we didn't really change anything, but when we went to actually record it, we had done some pretty good things right, because first of all, the demos didn't sound amazing, and that's usually the fault. Like, if the demos sound great and then you start recording the record, that can always throw a bad vibe on it, because you're like, how can
they don't like live up to as good as the demo might be. Like, yeah, I completely agree with that. Sometimes the demo can end up being better than the actual recording. Like, you captured a magic or something on the demo that it was hard to recapture on the actual recording.
And all we captured was banter, which I think...
A ton of banter, which, yeah. So we could never recapture again.
Never recapture that again. And we had some, you know, it was just fun to hang out. And it reminded me of, like, when it was me, you, and Navina and Phil, just sort of in like, those first early rehearsal sessions where it was, like, banging out songs and, you know, so much fun. Cracking jokes, cracking Cokes.
Yeah.
A lot of Coke Zeros, a lot of Diet Cokes.
Yeah.
A lot of aspartame on that.
For sure. And just so everyone knows, when we say that we were at Adams, Adam is our friend, Adam Vetter, who lives... Where was that?
Was in Innisfil. He lived...
In Innisfil, yeah.
Maybe
he
still lives in Innisfil, but...
No, not anymore. So we would go up to Innisfil and set up right in his kitchen. Yeah. Basically.
When we did the record, we set up in the kitchen.
But when we demoed,
we were in his basement.
That was in the basement. Yeah. You're right.
But it was, I don't know. I forget how that kind of came together. I think we made a joke. He's like, you can come up to my house. And I think I sweetened the pot by saying, well, you have to cook for us or something. Like, I can't remember how all that came together.
That's exactly right.
The negotiation was like, hey, you want to come up and use my house to record in? I'll cook for you. I think might have been more, or I might have said, okay, if you want us to come to your house and record, you better cook. And if you're going to cook, you better have a chef's hat.
Yeah. And he did all of that.
And a fake mustache and everything.
It was great.
Yeah, he did. We did barbecue. I remember we did barbecue on one of the pre-production sessions. We're like, this is going to be good. We're like, because, you know. And then the other inside joke that we should probably let known is that my big pitch was like, let's do a punk rock record. We're going to do this record and we're going to do it in 2 days, man. It's going to be a two-day record.
Yeah.
And it took 2 fucking years.
2 years. Yeah. Yeah, when we send tracks to each other, we still, it's always, the subject is always 2 day record, 2 day record. And yeah, we weren't even close to
It's
2 day
not done
record.
today, but it'll be done tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just made that up. That's pretty catchy.
Not bad. That could stick.
yeah. Wait a minute, recall that album. Not done today, done tomorrow. Yeah, and that was sort of my, I really wanted to do like a performance record. I wanted to do something that sounded like a band, and everybody kind of says that, and that was, you know, we did repair and we overdubbed, but those initial demo, like those, sorry, those initial tracking sessions were really awesome. Like I moved half of the gear upstairs and some of the gear downstairs so I could actually be upstairs and hit record and be in the room with everybody. And I feel that all of us playing together for those parts, just even though we just kept the drums mostly, that was the meat and potatoes of that album. That's like the essence of that record was the.
That demo, that session, I think, got all of us really excited to hear what the songs were going to ultimately sound like, and we could kind of finally see just like the direction we were going. It was a little bit different than the last album, and yeah, we all contributed a lot more to this one than previous ones, and I think that was a big difference too. So
Yeah,
yeah,
you.
that demo session was really good, and you suggested to do it that way, and I didn't think that I thought we were just going to get together kind of like how we would used to at a rehearsal factory. We'd jam, use one of those little Zoom microphones or something just to kind of record it, so we would all remember, like, oh yeah, we did this part here, we did that part there. But you brought all your gear. We did a full session demo, and it was great. It was
Yeah.
it definitely paid off for sure.
We could probably, when this album hits gold and platinum, we could actually release those demos because I got them right here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
For like
when we hit aluminum,
when
we'll
we
release
get when
those.
we when we sell all those vinyls, all them
Yeah.
vinyls.
Yeah.
So I mean, let's listen to the first song. Actually, we'll talk during the song to see how many if we want to do the whole thing, or if we want to do it song for song, or if we want to do two songs at a time, and then talk a little bit about kind of how the song came together.
Sure. So are you letting the song play right through? We're not talking at all over top of it?
We can talk over or top of it, but I won't keep any of that. And then we can talk after about what
Okay.
was. You good?
Yeah.
Okay, good as
Cool.
done. That's our trademark milk.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we call the milk. Like, just keep going. Just keep going. Milk it, milk it, milk it, milk it. Are people bored yet? Nope. Okay, keep going.
Keep going.
So, yeah. So, those two songs, first two songs, and honestly, I was sort of like hesitant to say, I think our first song should have been Send You Back to Lithuania, because I felt it was sort of like a good, strong, and then you went with Good as Dumb, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I 100% agree with that, but we were talking while the song was playing, and I'm like, I sort of have forgotten all the things that I wanted, you know, when it came to order and things like that, and, but yeah, no, I 100%, like, I listened to it today, I'm like, oh my god, yeah, the order's perfect, the tones are great, like, Stefan managed, he mastered it, right?
Yep.
And yeah, it's like a solid record. I can't wait for people to hear it.
Yeah. Same here, man. Yeah. No, I think Good as Dumb was a nice intro, just that's got that kind of guitar starts it off and it just builds and builds and then kicks in and that was a Spaceballs reference for those who don't know. That whole song was written about the movie Spaceballs, because I don't think there was one before. So someone
No, there is. So when there's a Spaceballs 4 or 2.
2, yeah.
Then you can say, well, I got a song for you.
That's right. Exactly.
How about my publishing check, please?
Yeah. Yeah, that one was really good, though. That was, I liked that, how that one turned out. And then the second track, Lithuania, really, that is probably the stronger song, but I think it made for a great track, too. Track 2s are always good.
Well, they always say the third song on your record is supposed to be your best song.
Is that what they say?
That's what I say.
Well, let's see what our track 3 is.
Here it is.
Good segue. Let's go.
Hey, segue. This is devoted to you on Hot 92.
Yeah. it's just my brain. I'm not insane, it's just my brain.
Well, we're topsy turvy, we're talking about the guitar solo, and I think I had mentioned the fact that I just seen Bohemian Rhapsody, which I think
like that week, and you came in, you're like, you guys are in for a treat. I just watched Bohemian Rhapsody and check out these guitar solos.
Yeah. So, and Devoted to You, that is, well, like we said, that's always the best song. Is the third song is always the best song of the record. Has to be.
Yep.
It's the rules. It's the law. So let's talk a little bit about financing, because this was paid generously by Mr. Paul Sullivan. And what I thought up until like, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, I thought it was another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, this is great. He's paying for it. But that didn't happen. But I think we were talking a little bit during the song. It's like, there's no ill will, right? Like,
not at all. No, of course not. No, no. And no, Paul did. He did finance it. And then he said, I'm happy to do this. Anytime you guys want to pay me back, it's okay. And I was really expecting it to be 2-3 years before we did. And it was under 2 weeks, we were able to pay him right back. And that was a really good feeling. And that was all from just online sales of the new record, which is so great. So yeah, that was really, really nice.
Yeah, we have to, you know, obviously Clearview put it out. But
Paul, and just so everyone knows, Paul is a really good friend of the band's, and that was so very cool of him. And Clearview Records put it out, but
he would drive thousands of kilometers to see shows and stuff too, right?
He's always been very supportive of everything, and he's a huge music fan, so just all around. So that was very, very cool. And then and Clearview put this one out as well, and that worked out really well.
Yeah, I'm really happy with like the, you know, because I haven't put vinyl. The only vinyl I've put out is with this band, really. You know, I think was there a Trigger Happy vinyl release? I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely know that there might have been a 7-inch with like Red Fisher, but an actual like real release, like truthfully, honestly, I thought like, you know, vinyl's kind of a thing that it's sort of like a certain type of person likes. But I do understand the concept, and obviously because they've sold so good, there is an ownership to vinyl.
Yeah,
that's undeniable.
And one thing that I'll say about the Fairmounts is we take pride in the packaging. Like we put a lot of work into like the cover and the liner notes and like just because that's part of the experience of what having vinyl. It's not just like, oh, they sound good when you drop the needle, which is part of it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved like the physical copy of looking at that, putting a record on, dropping the needle, sitting on your couch like you were when you were a kid and reading along with the lyrics, looking at like, I read everything when I get a new record. I read all the thank yous. I read how everything was recorded. And I love holding that piece of brand new vinyl.
Yeah.
So I hope people do that. And I love, ours came out on like this really nice translucent pink. There was the tie-dye. We had a clear one. Like I love all that geeky stuff too. So yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And what was the weight of the vinyl? What gram was it? How many grams was the vinyl?
I'm actually not sure. I know it was not 180 though. I know that.
It was 4,000.
I'm not sure what it was.
22. But, vinyl. Actually, you could see through time with it. When you look through it, you'd see through time.
Yeah.
Well, it's your. Oh, is this a Phil song, Danny's Car? No, wait.
This is your,
which one's a, which one was so Dan? There's some
Topsy
Phil song.
Topsy Turvy, which we also listened to, track 4. That is a Phil Page number right there, and it was another good one of Phil's.
Yeah, Phil drops him in from time to time. He is always a like, couple songs. Except for the EP we did, there was always a couple of Phil Page songs on there, definitely.
Right. Yep, that's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, let's hear a couple more. Danny's Car and Listen Up. Here it comes.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah. So we got to talk about who played on that.
Yeah, that was Mr. Greg Hetson from Circle Jerks, Bad Religion fame, playing lead Sholo on there.
And we also have to thank Darren Pfeiffer for actually finding him. Well, like, I know he's in LA somewhere, but he would somehow wrangle him into a studio to record it. Talk
Greg,
about that.
Greg agreed that he wanted to do it, and that was no problem, but we needed Darren to actually go there and kind of give him a hand and yeah, persuade him to actually do it.
Didn't we want him to do something on Kiddo and it never actually came to fruition? Wasn't there something like we were trying to get him to do? Or has this been like it took a whole album to get him on?
I don't think so. I think when we asked Greg to do this one, he was keen right away. And it just sometimes people need a little persuading. And so Darren had to go to his house.
Yeah, we have to talk. We have to thank Darren Pfeiffer for figuring. Yeah, because Darren has been a very strong supporter of you personally with your other stuff, like with Mike and his uke. And
yeah, he's been a good friend to the band and to all of us, and for sure, yeah, he definitely helped out with this one. So props to Darren.
Yeah, man,
for sure.
Let's do Listen Up.
Phil Page.
So there's a few things we got to talk about that song. One of it was when we were demoing this, I don't know how we did this. I think we edited some of this song while we were doing pre-production. I think the key change was part of that pre-production. I think. Was it always going to change keys?
No, that happened late for sure.
So we decided...
You know what? No, there was always a key change, but we changed where we did it. Okay. And this one happens now right before the solo. I don't remember.
I think there was an edit. There was an edit during pre-production that said, okay, we got to make this song shorter. It's like over 2 minutes. We got to fucking.
Yeah, that's fucking way too long.
Tighten that shit up.
Trim
that fat out. There was a moment, I think, but the funny thing was your cue points to it would be, somehow this I wrote the beep, beep, which was like the Clash. It's literally the Clash. So you would call the parts out while we're doing the demo, some of which we just kept in there, which was funny, but it's in the demos where you can hear you go, Clash, come on. Yeah. And it's like
there's like in Force Fields in the demos, double A, because that's where we would hit the A chord twice. And yeah, there's anytime I could yell out a cue to make sure we all hit the right spot, and some of them stayed.
Yeah. Flash! When we, like I said, when we become double platinum, we'll be able to sell these demos, and
that's right.
Then we'll really rake that money in, that fucking Fairmount's money.
Yeah.
Power Huey can go fuck off with all that, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to...
That was Listen Up, though, but that was another Phil Page number, too.
Yeah. Also, that was our, we posted that. It went viral on YouTube. No, it didn't. But we did our, we invented a signature clap where we would go clap, clap, and then we'd do like a patty cake. Clap, clap.
Yeah.
Psh, clap, clap.
And that made the final cut, too.
It made it. Yeah, we did it. I think we double tracked that, too, by the way.
Yeah. So, the hand claps are quite noticeable on that song. And so, if you're listening, those are all patty cake hand claps of Simon and I.
And the interesting part of that tambourine has been on every Fairmount's recording session. I still have it. It's over there somewhere. But that tambourine has been on more recordings than I think I have, you know.
Yeah.
Because whenever I'd record a band, I'd have a tambourine. And I was always very anti-tambourine. Then all of a sudden, I went like super pro-tambourine. Like, I'm all about the tambourine.
Can you see your tambourine right where you are right now?
No. It's over there in the darkness. But
okay, never mind.
But it was like that tambourine. I can't remember how I even got it. I just sort of ended up at my studio like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I still have it, and I will pull it out. I remember I had the kid one. Remember I had the little kid one, too?
Yeah.
That had like two little bits because the other three had, like, the other parts had all fallen off of it. That was for when we did the EP. But
for those that don't know, Simon and I have known each other for over, I guess, 20 years now.
Yeah. No, and yeah. It would have been since 2000, absolutely, since the studio. Well, actually, 2001-ish. So we're on our 20th anniversary.
But it was before you were at the Carla. Is that right, studio?
Yeah, like yeah. It was when it was at the house.
It was in your basement of the house, yeah.
Inner City Surfer stuff. And we should probably tell a really quick story. I'll tell a really quick story when I first met Brad. Yeah. Brad called me up, and I thought it was a prank call. Because Brad's like, hey, man, we want to do some recording. And I'm like, cool. What do you sound like? Well, we kind of sound like this, but on crack. You know, like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so, great.
And I didn't know you were coming. I thought it was a prank call. So I actually booked the time, you know, in the ledger or whatever. They had this band, quote unquote, is coming through. And you guys showed up. You were there, and you were the Inner City Surfers, and you were exactly what he mentioned, on crack.
There's a good chance Brad was on crack that day.
He was like fucking bang on with the explanation too, right? Like, such a wacky band. Like, there's like this pop sensibility, and then you have like fucking, you know, just this dark realism of like just music that you're like from Brad. I'm not saying Dustin, but I mean Dustin would be party, and then Brad would be fucking party, but I'm fucking serious about fucking party. Yeah, remember we played one show when I was in Foursquare. We played with the Surfers, and Brad freaked the shit out of Trevor, who played drums at the time. Like, just freaked him out. Like, what the fuck? Who is that guy? I said, that guy's the real fucking deal, man. He's the real deal. And, you know, still is. Love you, Brad.
Yeah. Simon also played. I broke my arm, and Simon
I played in the Surfers
for a couple shows.
Made him jealous. He hasn't forgiven me since.
Well, it was just they sounded better with you. That's the problem.
That was the problem.
Having, yeah.
So said your manager.
Oh. I know.
So you want to join this band? I'm like, no, I don't. No. I don't want to join this band. Why would I want to join this band? I got my own band playing drums. Yeah, I can only crack wise so much behind the drums before they switch my mic off, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is our last song. That was my biggest joke. And we played Lee's Palace, and the second song was our last song. This is our last song, everybody. Thanks so much. And I'm like behind the drums, like fucking running the show like an asshole. But I remember the first song. We're digressing, but I remember the first jam. I'm sitting here like playing away. I look over and there's Mikey with a broken arm, crossed armed, like
all pissed off. Like, this sucks.
These guys are fucking assholes for letting this guy play drums. My drums. I was playing.
How dare they play a show at Leaf Palace in front of 15 people without me?
A different drummer. Yeah, that's commitment, buddy. That's what's called commitment. It's called drive, and you wouldn't understand. Okay, let's do Force Fields and Never Gonna Beat Me.
I like this one.
Here we go.
Do it. Batman. Oh yeah, that was another part from the demo. Eh?
Yeah. It's got the Green Day ending. It's got the boom in the end. It's a badass song. First song on the second side, right?
Yep. Track one, side B.
What can we talk about that?
What did we just listen to before that one?
We just did Force Fields.
Force Fields. That was one of the first songs that we had ready for this one.
That's right. We demoed those like even before 2 years ago.
Yeah. And what were you saying earlier about like Stefan with the stems and everything?
Oh, right. Yeah. There's a rare time when I send stuff off to mastering that I actually allow them to manipulate the tracks a little bit. So when I'm mixing it to drums to be just on their own tracks, bass on their own tracks, guitars and vocals all on their own tracks. When I sent it to Stefan, you literally put them all at the same volume and that's the mix of the song. And I think what helped this out is that because I'm in my basement mixing it and he's in his studio mastering it, that he could actually make the vocals a little louder, a little quieter based on his, you know, he has more control over mastering it. And I think that paid off in this case because whatever he did, he did an amazing job mastering it, that's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, he added a lot. He did the last record too, and so it was nice to have him back.
It's not as good. It's pretty good.
On the last one?
Yeah, he was, I'm just kidding. It's pretty good, but you know,
yeah,
he did a better job because he's doing it for 4 years longer, or 6 years longer. It took us to make another record.
That's right. Yeah. And then, so Force Field, and then the one we just listened to, Never Gonna Be Me. And what's the next jam on this one?
Am I ever gonna see it's a cover?
This is a cover song by the Australian group, The Angels.
You know, those guys. Yeah, those guys.
And this one features, what does it feature, Simon?
Oh, shit. Oh, the Wilhelm Scream. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And go find, when you find it, just text Mikey at 416.
Yeah.
Tell him where you saw it, and he'll send you a free t-shirt.
Yep. Yeah, we needed a noise in this one section of the song, so Simon downloaded, how do you say it, a Wilhelm Scream?
Wilhelm Scream, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Which now, it's in our song, but now I hear it in every TV show and movie that I watch because it's the most used piece of audio ever.
For a scream sound. Yeah, and it's actually, I heard it in Mandalorian. We were talking about that it's in The Mandalorian, which is, by the way, one of the greatest pieces of TV that I think I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me feel like a young boy again. Yeah. Okay, let's do that. Am I ever going to see your face? And we'll do... No, we can stop and then we'll talk about Make You Smile.
Sounds good.
Am I
we should probably mention that we've played. We should probably mention that we've probably played half of this album.
Maybe? I would say 4 or 5 songs.
Yeah,
we've played.
Devoted to You.
Yeah. We've played.
Forest Field. Forest Fields, yeah, for a long time, actually. Almost a year before. Because that was a whole different recording
at
session.
At the Bose Festival, we played Never Gonna Be Me.
Yeah.
We did the cover, Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face Again?
We've done that quite a bit. That's been a thing. Yeah. A
couple times.
Window.
Yeah.
We did Window.
Oh, Window, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not half of it, but we, yeah, definitely.
But a few of them.
The majority of this record has been really not really done live, and that's sort of like the MO of bands. Like, we're going to play all these songs, and then we'll go record them, and then you'll get to hear them again, but in record format.
I think
this is a rare occasion where people are hearing the songs without coming to the Bovine.
Yeah, exactly. And that was what really, really concerned me about releasing a record. I know you didn't want to talk about this, but releasing a record during COVID, because... You're supposed to
COVID. What's that?
Yeah, exactly. You're supposed to put out an album, and then you go play that album live, like you do your album release show at the Bovine or wherever, and the that's Bovine. Where you sell the yeah, it would have been the Bovine, and that's where you sell a bunch of your records to make the money back. And I was terrified that we'd be sitting on boxes and boxes of records because we can't go out and actually play them. But maybe it's better that we never play live because we sold a bunch of records. So
yeah, God bless COVID because. No one have records to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, and you think in my case, I ran out of Netflix shows to see. So what did I do? I went to Disney Plus. So therefore, we're the Disney Plus to the Netflix of the normal, if it's turned into a metaphor of sorts. Mm-hmm. We should.
But man, do I miss playing, man. I can't wait to get out and actually play these songs.
I think it's going to be a whole fun process to actually learn them again.
Yep.
Figure out what we did. And then we usually do like one jam, you know, and then we go play the show. But, which is sort of our thing. That's what we do, right? Like if it's a show, we play like what, once every, maybe every 6 months-ish?
Basically, yeah.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, the next show might require 1.5 jams, though, since that we'll have to relearn all of these songs.
I'd like to keep it to one.
All right. Well, that's what we'll do then, Simon.
I've spoken. Mandalorian.
That is the way.
That is the way. I've spoken. We're going to have to jam. Well, we can do it up here if you want.
Yeah.
But let's not bore the audience with
Adam's kitchen.
Adam's where he lives in a condo now, doesn't he?
Yeah, it'll be loud.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Andrew's got an electric kit.
We
can still do it. We can.
That's true.
Adam, we're coming over. We're bringing an electric kit, a bunch of pods, and we're going to fucking rock your house. So, yeah, let's talk about the artwork, because the funny thing about the artwork, well, it's not funny, but the thing about the artwork is that the first album, LP, has my 10-year-old son playing Pots and Pans. And 6 years later, is it six? Six, actually now 8 years later.
19, 20. 6 or 7 though. That picture was taken in 2013, and
yes.
So yeah, yeah.
He was 2013. Yeah. Crazy. So 8 years. Yeah, six whatever years later, it's got my son and my daughter on it. So I think I don't know now what we're gonna do because Phil's got two, Andrew's got one. We got to put more records out.
Absolutely. I kind of like the theme we've been doing, like
keeping Everett in it.
Simon's oldest, Everett. He was 10 in that?
He was 10.
First one?
Yeah.
So he was 10 in that one, which was perfect because it was just like an image of a young boy kind of playing pots and pans, like playing drums on his pots and pans. And then now he's like a teenager, older teenager.
Mm. He was 15, I think, when we took those pictures.
Okay, and so the next one we'll have him in his 20s. That'd be perfect.
Be like a little stubble, beer in his hand.
Yeah.
I think the funny one for the next one would be him, like his mugshot, like do a fake mugshot of him in jail or something, like, or he's in a police lineup.
the way you've been raising him, we could probably use his real mugshot.
Probably could. Yeah. No, you, dude, he's smart. He actually, I gotta say this. He just got accepted to 5 of the college courses he applied to.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
He's gonna be an architect. Now, I'm not 100% comfy with that because I hear architects are evil. That's what I hear. They're all evil. But you know what? Maybe he'll change the mold. Who knows? Maybe he'll break the mold. No, he's smart. It's so funny watching a teenager be a 15-year-old teenager versus a 17, almost 18-year-old. He's almost a man. Like, he could go fight in World War I, like, today. Like, right now.
He's one of the people that, like, when I met you, you are the exact same as when I met you, which was 20 years ago. When I met you, you had a baby, Everett. And so it's just, he's one of the first people that I've really, really watched kind of grow up. And it's crazy, like, how old he is now. And yeah, like, compared to when I first met you and... it's nuts.
Yeah, I'm more gray.
You're a little grayer, but you still grayer. Just as stupid. And
yeah, just as stupid. That part you got right. Yeah, I nailed that part. Stupid enough to hang out with a guy like you, asshole. Shut up, Mike. You're embarrassing me in front of my podcast friends.
Sorry.
Okay, let's do Make You Smile.
Make Smile.
We'll do Make You Smile and Wind No.
Wind No.
Skating.
me on my back. Yeah, Window. Window was a song we'd already kind of had figured out. And when I was listening to that, I realized I played the same solo I did in the demo. I didn't change anything. The demo that we did. And why did we do those four songs? We did four songs, and Window was in there, and there was also...
That's not the demo. That was when you're talking about demo, you're not talking about...
Sorry,
demo,
no, I'm talking about the thing we did like a year before up at the barn.
Yes. We did Window. We did...
Atone.
Oh my God! What was,
there was a song.
Atonement.
Force field. Atonement. Yeah. Atonement never made it out. Will it ever? Atonement will ever see the light of day, Mikey?
Yeah.
Give me the
probably
scoop.
Not. No, I'm guessing no. And there was another song too. Can't remember which one, but yeah. I think you played exactly what you did then. I mean, you know, when you hit gold, you just go. Why would you change something if it's not
That's
broken?
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. The. I mean, the fun fact about that is that I think. That was before Andrew kind of left for a while.
Yeah.
Like he was like, meh. Mm-hmm. Meh. And then we got somebody, and then it was like, meh. And then then Andrew came back. And it was, you know what brought Andrew back was Phil's wedding.
Phil's wedding. Everyone, yeah, that was really
cool. Kissed and made up.
Getting to hang out again and everything. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It was definitely Phil's wedding. Well, what were you saying about, Make You Smile was the first one, right?
Yeah, Make You Smile was the first one, like when we all set up in Adam's basement and just went, okay, first song, it goes like this. And I think I wrote my parts with the thing at the start was all written while that was going on. And that sort of that ending part, like that was all written like as part of that pre-production thing. And I probably maybe would have written something like that if I was sitting here in my basement without anybody around, but there was like, that was how that energy was like just popping because it was like
creative juices were flowing.
Yeah. It was like, I'm with my buds and I'm trying to, you know, obviously when you play music, you're trying to like impress yourself as well as, you know.
Yeah. And I just watched the Bohemian Rhapsody documentary.
The biopic.
Oh, the biopic. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's right.
Come on, dude. That to me, that movie is funny because it'll be on deep cable now and I'm like, oh, I gotta watch it. It's on. It's like, I don't know why. It's like any other movie to me, that was one of those classic movies. Like, I don't know why. I always loved Queen as a kid. Like, you know, no one ever would want to be in the band Queen, but y'all loved Queen. You know what I mean? Like that was one of those. Yeah. Loved it. I wish I had a big bushy mustache too.
Me too. I wish you did also.
Me too. I could do it. I got it. Like, could you imagine just like lose that and do this?
Yeah.
Hello, Michael. I called you Michael all the time. That's not my name.
I would hate that part.
That's not my name. My name is Mike. You can call me Mikey if you want. Okay, Michael. Yeah. Okay, let's do Monkey and You Against You.
Ooh.
Mm. Monkey. Let's do, actually, before we start, Monkey. That's like the only real kind of slow dirgy kind of song. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. This is our ballad, I guess.
Mm. Power ballad.
Power ballad.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. So let's talk about Monkey. Monkey's got keyboards on it. Mm-hmm. Phil Page's idea.
Yeah, it was.
And we didn't really have a keyboard. We actually used the Roland piano thing that was upstairs. To make the sound. And I mic'd it. I didn't even like plug it out of the audio output. Put a mic on it. Like
Simon for these kind of things. Simon would, because I don't know how to record anything. He will yell. All you have to do is hit the space bar when I yell.
Right. Yeah, because you were the engineer for that part.
Yeah.
And that's every time. And because we do records every 6 years, Mikey forgets all the stuff I taught him.
That's right. Yeah. And Simon gets really annoyed remember.
Because I'm trying to be artistic.
Yeah. So he'll be upstairs, set at the Roland, the keyboard, ready to go. And he'll be like, now! And I'll be like, which button again?
Spacebar!
Like, come back down there.
Hit number 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you hit 3? No. Then you didn't record it.
Yeah.
That's the closest to an argument that we've really come to is when we start putting Mikey in charge of recording. That's the closest we get.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about it, you know, we've known each other a long time, played in a lot of bands, been in weird situations. We've never really had like a full, like fucking, like row. You know what I mean?
No, but I mean, we will.
Well, I mean, there's still time.
There's lots of time.
You know, anything could happen, you know? You could watch and listen to this, and I could put all the ums and ahs that I said I was going to put in, and then you were like, you fucking asshole, you made me look like an idiot. And I'm like, yeah, I know, that's the fucking gig. That's what this thing's all about, is making the guests look stupid. My podcast, my rules. I make myself look smart. I make the guests look stupid. It's awesome. I love it.
what was the other song we just... Oh, You Against You. That was Phil Page one as well.
We missed the full... Well, let me just play a little bit because it started like this. Phil Page. There you go.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Which is Phil Page's actual answering machine on his phone. That's it.
You know, some people would say, hey, how's it going? This is Phil Page. Welcome to my cell phone. Please leave a message and the time and date you called, and I'll be sure to get back to you as soon as possible. Phil Page?
Have a great day.
I think Phil Page should actually put Phil Page. That would be the good answering machine message.
That would be cool. Yeah.
I know we're digressing, but remember the time when people used to make songs to put on their answering machines and go, nobody's home. Nobody's home. Nobody's home. Nobody's home. Nobody's home. Yeah. I just watched the Bohemian Rhapsody movie.
I heard.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, there is a... Well, we'll play all the outtakes after. Mm-hmm. That's the bonus. If you've gotten this far, we're like 76 minutes in. We get that far.
No one's still with us.
They're with us because they have to hear your fucking opus, your epic, your last song on this album.
Is that now?
Yeah. It's.
We're already at the end.
We're at Amelia.
This is Amelia. And I remember when we were demoing this one, you were adamant that this was the last song on the record.
Had to be.
I thought it was because wow, Simon really likes this song and it's a perfect closer. But then he told me just now that it was actually just because it was 4 minutes and it would be stupid to have a 4 minute song.
No, I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth. I did not say that. I said this would be the greatest song because it was long. It was our decline. It was our answer, you know. It had, and I said, and I did say this, and might I remind you, Mikey, now we are having an argument.
Yeah, that,
I
knew it
was coming. I did not say that. You're putting words in my mouth, you son of a bitch. The fact that to write a punk rock song, usually, you know, we keep it in that sort of 2 to 2.5 minute mark. And that is sort of what would be generically a punk rock length of punk rock song. You wrote this fucking 4 minute and almost 20 second like opus. You know what I mean? Like it's not a lot of people can do that. Like that was a feat.
Well,
that's keep people nice entertained. No, man, it's a good song. That's
probably
why
should have just been 2 different songs, but
probably could have just split it into one good song. But
And we're back to fighting.
Oh, let's hear it. Let's hear it. And then we'll wrap this puppy up.
Cool.
Wouldn't be a 90s pop punk record without a distortion,
a little feedback.
Not bad, seeing all the guitar sounds were fake. No, I'm kidding. Oh, really? Can't remember. No. Did we mic it out?
I had the high watt for
Did, that's right, yeah. So they're real amps. They're real amps for once. Where did you get the high watt from?
From you on this one.
Oh, was that through Colin? Yeah.
The first on Kiddo, it was through our buddy Anthony DeVanzo.
Mm-hmm.
And then for this one, it was through your connection there.
Yeah, Uxbridge, Colin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Great record, dude.
That was a good album.
Yeah.
I'm working on the new one, I guess.
Really? Well, you got to wait 5 years, dude. Come on. Don't rush it.
Ever needs to grow a beard.
Ever needs to get married, divorced, and a kid. Then we'll put Everett's kid on the new album.
Mm.
Yeah.
And on Kiddo, he's got a Walkman. On this one, he's got a Discman. So what's the next one? Like an old iPod or something?
An iPod.
Yeah.
Or a phone. Or we could get, like, put maybe. No. It should be a record player, like, strapped to him.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like.
Like a backpack.
He keeps skipping.
Yeah.
But I'd be remiss without putting the. If I didn't put any of the outtakes.
Oh, man.
This
is the banter that we were saying between songs
during
while working on the demos?
Demos, and I believe some of them have come from the actual session.
Oh, boy.
The funny thing is they're all alphabetically ordered, which is hilarious. So it starts with A, and the first one is called, I'm gonna carry them through. And the first one is called Adam Coffee. And then you can just make up your names for the rest of them. Here it comes.
Adam.
Do it. Let's do it.
Okay. No fucking around, guys.
Do it.
Come on, boys. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. That's pretty good. How'd that go? Do it again.
Sounds like this. Asshole. That's what I... I got out of all that.
That part repeats. A, F, G, whatever. I don't think you're doing those chords anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Let's just see what happens. Here we go. Monkey.
Ake na mo.
Just trying to remember where that is.
I emailed it to myself.
Did it record?
It didn't stop, too, right?
I'm forgetting parts. Let's go.
Forgetting parts. Let's go.
Dennis Carr. All right.
How about the hidden track? Fred Shiner in this one. Dennis Carr. We're going right into Dennis Carr.
It was a giant whale. Are you checking your heart rate?
Hot balls!
Hot balls. How could I ever change how I feel? Alright. Where are your charts?
Where are your charts? No, I practiced. Was there alcohol involved?
No, it was in the morning.
Lies.
Look at him cook.
I do the mess around.
I don't want to be the son of his dick or morning sickness. I didn't say morning sickness.
Yeah. Was that all recording?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. All right, do it. My shoulder hurts.
There's a weird fill there, but
yeah. I'm not quite warmed up yet.
What?
A pants a back foot.
My name is Mikey, and I rock too hard.
Listen up.
I got a better idea. Why don't you just not suck?
Yeah.
On this one.
Suck,
no. All the standing around. How you guys do it? Tuning. Why do they call it a window? Wind? No.
It would be called wind no.
Wind no. After years.
It just got shortened.
Yeah!
You still want me to yell out the spots?
Yeah! Fuck I do.
Bridge! Clash!
So good. There's more, but I don't think we can play a lot of it in this forum. I really enjoyed making this album. Really,
me too,
really.
Man. That was fun. Listening to that banter, I'm surprised we actually got anything done. But
well, yeah. The initial recording of all of us together was the most of it. There was actually more time in the demoing stage than there was the actual recording of it. You know, like we spent 2 days together recording at Adam's place, but we spent 3 days like just demoing it and playing it like a band.
And so we... When we actually started to record, we did the drums at Adam's, and Phil did all the bass at Adams.
Yeah.
But then all guitars and vocals were done at your place over the next few months, kind of.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing is you made a point to be here, which there was like a lot of inclusiveness in this. So, you know, like I wanted to be included with the bed tracks and you wanted to be included in the overdubs.
Because even if I wasn't doing my parts, I always wanted to be there because, it's always better to have input from everyone. And all the guys would try and be there as much as they could, for sure. Even if they weren't recording their parts that day.
Yeah, there was, and so you needed a ride.
And I needed a ride. So, Andrew usually had to drive.
You had to drive, No, there was always that. The fact that we would try to keep together as much in this was a new thing, and I don't know if we even made the plan to do that, but or if it was like a decision we made. It was like, no, we all want to be together while we're making this, and the product, the end product, was like, is better.
I fully agree. That's exactly, yeah. You can hear it. Like, it makes a difference when everyone's having a good time and you want to be there. You're feeding off the other people that are there for ideas, and
want to play good. You want to play
experience. That's right. Yeah. I mean, the moral, I guess, is just watch the Queen biopic before you record and
good things will happen. Whoa.
Yeah.
We just totally synced up. You're right. You have to watch a good biopic. And then let the magic unfold. Let it unfurl. Yeah. I'm doing this thing with my hand, what's making me look like I'm trying to present it.
For those at home, picture Simon just waving his hands.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
Well,
I think this is a good way to sort of end off and say, you know, let's try not to wait 6 years to do another record, for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
we could do more, and you know, we could talk. We should talk a little bit about your Mike and his uke project, because there are some fucking amazing people coming in on this, and I don't think you'd ever really imagine in your whole life that you would be doing stuff, you know, with a singer from Refused. My God.
And again, I don't want to talk about COVID, but Mikey and his uke is completely a product of it. Never, ever would have happened if it weren't for this situation we're all in right now. And it's because no matter how big these artists are, like you said, the guy from the Refused and the guy from Descendants and the guy from like just all these huge bands, they are at the end of the day, they are all just musicians that want to be active. And without being able to play live right now, everyone's just looking for an outlet to do it. And that's the only reason that, I am able to do this right now, and I am very fortunate that I am doing it, because it's keeping me sane through this whole thing, because without playing live, it's been awful. So this has been great to be able to do this.
Yeah. Who would have thunk like the pulling thing out of your closet would have brought so many people so much happiness.
It's crazy. It really, and yeah, exactly. That's a great way to put it, because the comments that we get are just so positive, and I know a lot of people are down in these days, and it is a nice feeling to bring like a little bit of joy into people's lives, and it brings a lot to mine as well, of course.
Have you ever had anybody like the troll, like the person, like, has it there ever been like, way to go, Mikey, like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I will say I am fortunate that 99.9% of the comments are positive.
Yeah.
But you will get, like, even today, I released a new one today, and someone commented right on my actual, like, it's I understand to get kind of negative comments on YouTube, because that's such a public thing.
Yeah.
But someone went right to my page, Mikey and his Uke Facebook, just to say how bad this cover sucked. And like, okay, but thanks for still coming to the page and checking it out.
And
that's completely fine. But I've been very lucky that they've been very well received.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
The spirit of it too is definitely very positive, and you can definitely tell that everybody's into it for the same reason, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps being more and more cooler people to be part of it. And when will it stop? Like, when are you going to be like, okay, we've filled the list. This is going to be Billy Joel Armstrong. It's going to be like your.
Yep. It'll end right after that. When that happens, that's the last.
That's it. Yeah, you right tap there. It off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck everybody else. I got who I wanted.
Yeah. Show's over.
Instead of like stay positive, like go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Roll the credits.
I've got who I want. We're buddies now, me and Billy Joe. So go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So
the real true Mikey will come out.
I don't know how long this will go, but I mean, yeah. It'll go until it's just either not fun anymore or it's just unable to even do it, because when venues open back up, man, everyone's going to be booking shows like as fast as they can. So
yeah, I was talking about that today with someone. Like, there's two scenarios. Like, it's either going to be gangbusters crazy, or there's going to be like it's going to be hard recovery. Like, there's two scenarios, and I don't know where we're going with it. Part of me wants it to be shoulder to shoulder, people out, you know, having fun.
Yeah, for sure. One of the big problems with that, though, is we also lost a lot of our venues.
Yeah. Well, I think, though, there's like a couple of venues that closed, but they closed because they were cutting their expenses so they can eventually go back to that venue. You know what I mean? Like the only Sneaky's is being leveled, but Sneaky's is being leveled up. But like there's certain venues that are like there's the Oshawa Music venue, Oshawa, I forget what it's called. But they're like
the Atrium?
No, the bigger place, the rock venue.
But Oshawa Music Hall.
Oshawa Music Hall. They're closing, right. But the venue's not going to get occupied by someone else. He's just going to move back in. Like
I see.
You know what I mean? Right. He's just cutting his lease so he doesn't have to pay and hemorrhage money like monthly, you know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, entertainment is the last thing that people want to try to support in this sort of everybody getting what they want, kind of like trying to keep, you know, the lights on in their house, as well as governments trying to like figure out what to do for the masses of people. And there's like art, unfortunately, is the last thing in line, like waiting for scraps, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah. No, for sure.
We said we wouldn't talk about fucking COVID, Mikey.
It always comes back.
Always comes back to COVID. Every time we talk, you know. Yep. I'm glad I hit record.
Yeah.
No. Wait. No, just kidding. Okay, buddy, I love you.
Love you too, man. This was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye.
That was Mr. Mikey Hodden from the Fairmounts, other bands he plays in, and Mikey and his uke. Yeah. Like I said, Mikey and I go back almost 20-something years. We've been friends. Never really had a real argument, which is strange. I like that perfect couple. Perfect couple. They never argue, and then at the end of it all, they end up one of them kills the other. Yeah. Perfect. Why did I get dark? How did that happen? So, yeah, everybody listen up. That's the name of the song. And also, listen up. I love bringing these podcasts to you every single week. We're kicking down the door 300. It is a pretty monumental thing for me. It's one of the most committed artistic endeavors I think I've ever done, next to my own band, which isn't really a band. It's me and my gear. But yeah, it's been fun. You know, it's been really fun doing it. And now I'm going out every other week. I feel like that might be a trend for a while, where there might only be enough to get me by. I'm still working on this project, and I have yet to really... I'm waiting on one thing, and then I will make the big announcement about what I'm actually doing between now and the end of the year. A personal nights and weekends project that's very, very close to my heart. And I really, really can't wait. Like, I can't wait to let people know what I'm doing, because it's really exciting for me to do something like this. I know I've teased the crap out of it for the past months, since like October. But I have been very, very slowly working and gaining entrance into this thing where I need to... I can't even explain it, but... Well, I can. I could if I told you exactly what I was doing. But I'm not gonna. So anyways, look at us. 98 minutes right there. Bang. Thanks so much for listening to the show. I will see you in a week, maybe, if not a week after. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I very, very, very much appreciate it. It's been fun talking to people. It's been fun meeting new people. And yeah, we'll see you again on another episode. All right, everybody, have a good week. Stay warm and wash your hands.